This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Isaac. And a returning guest, always a pleasure to speak to Paul Zara from the Australian Retailers Association. How are you today, Paul?
Good morning, Macca. I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for inviting me on the show.
It's great. I wanted to touch base with you. We've got a bit of an interest rate pause at the moment, with better prediction of some other increases. Who knows what the Reserve Bank's going to do? But what's been the impact? I know that the Retailers Association, you know, you have, you know, members, you know, small businesses, you know, one or two people, and large businesses, and everything in between. So you get you get a lot of information, a lot of and a lot of feedback and data from your members. What impact has the interest rate freezes had versus what impact have you seen when interest rates have increased?
Well, look, there's no doubt, Macca, there's definitely a retail sales slowdown, and we're now starting to see similar behaviour to what we saw in the GFC, and that's of great concern. So obviously the Reserve Bank is trying to curtail inflation and sometimes is working, I guess, in opposition to the retail industry because they've got a complex job, but they're also trying to get inflation down. And we're now seeing, particularly in the last round of data, that discretionary spend has completely slowed down. The only two categories that are doing well are food and cafes, restaurants and takeaway. But we've even got more information yesterday from the ABS yesterday, and what that's confirmed to us, those two categories, whilst they're up in sales, it's predominantly driven by inflation because overall sales volumes are in decline. So we're paying more at the supermarket checkout because of supply chain and just general cost pressures. But it's not a great picture. Now, the retail industry is a really good bellwether for the broader economy. If you think about it this way, interest rate rises have a lag effect, and we're now seeing those all come to fruition. So the small business community particularly are doing it tough. They've got less margin to work with. We do go from, we're the largest retail association in the country. We go from hairdressing to hardware and everything in between. Most of our members are small business owners, and they're doing it really, really tough. And in fact, in many cases, there's recent information around where a shop owner, being a cafe or a retailer specifically, is earning less than the people that they're employing. And that's of great concern.
Because I think, you know, there's a perception out there, and certainly I observe this when I'm in, you know, when I'm supermarket shopping, that not only are we, I'm not sure, I'll use the word downsizing, a lot of packaging, and the price is increasing. So it seems to me that inflation, food inflation, is having a real impact. We're seeing in other parts of the economy, Paul, a number of hospitality venues that have that survived COVID but are now, you know, in serious trouble, that they're struggling to get people through the door in the spread of hours that they want to open. Is this patchy or is this what you're seeing around Australia? I mean, supermarket prices, it's not patchy?
You've captured it.
Yeah?
No, you've captured it well. I mean, there's no doubt that we're seeing the customer actually, and you raise a different point about packaging coming down in size, and I'll talk to that shortly. But the consumer is very much around value right now. They're looking at how do they make that dollar go further. And at the supermarket, we're seeing that people downgrading their purchases. I shouldn't use that because that word, but that's the best way to describe it, to private label type product. Because often private label product could be actually of equal or better value. Mm. But that's what they're doing to stay away from any cost structures, trying to rethink to cheaper ingredients. Meat is the most expensive item at the supermarket checkout. So, you know, what we're seeing is definitely a move towards a more vegetable-based cooking. And on top of that, of course, the supply base are actually responding by saying we actually need to get our prices down. The only way we can do that is by reducing the pack size. So it is this sort of perfect storm. And if you take the retail industry, which is what I'm here to talk about, they've got this, cost of doing business crisis, which was very different to the GFC. The GFC was very much a consumer crisis where we saw the Australian dollar go above parity to the US and people shopping online overseas. There was an influx of international retailers. It was just as general a problem from a consumer's perspective. But this is an issue for business because when you look at wages, rents, insurance, supply chain, everything across the board is increasing in price. And that's why retailers are looking to pass some of that price on because they've got to be sustainable. But equally, every time they take a price increase, they run the risk of losing a customer.
Paul, good morning. It's Paul here. Two questions for you. So the cost of doing business is critical to these small retailers. Two things for you to consider. One is because we're in a two-tier economy with food businesses, you know, doing okay and the rest of the retail landscape probably not. What do you think landlords can do in terms of rent relief as the first question? And the second question to you was about casual workers transferring to permanent staff. So could you just give us a quick talk on those two issues?
Sure. So let me address the first question. So we're sort of seeing, I think we all thought that cafes, restaurants and takeaway food stores, because the retail sales in those areas are doing particularly well in the last round of ABS data for June, they were up 8.6%. But their overall sales volume or units are down. So the sales increase is really masking the increase in labour costs and ingredients costs. When you view the reality of your local restaurant, you're probably finding some of these sorts of dynamics, closing on Mondays and possibly Tuesdays, reducing their hours, reducing whether they're open for lunch and dinner, definitely passing on credit card surcharging, but also now passing on charges for penalty rates when it comes to Sundays and public holidays. So it's not a great consumer experience or customer experience, but it means that the restaurant can continue to survive. So there's pressure all round. Now, the second part to your question, we have had the largest minimum wage increase since the Fair Work Commission was established. Now, I've always been advocating for minimum wages to go up because we want, and as long as they're sustainable increases, but we have had inordinate increases occur, and there's a lot of IR reform from the current government, which part, some of it we support, some of it we don't, and there's this tenuous relationship to sort of get the right outcome. But the move from the current government is to certainly force a casual conversion from casual to permanent. Now, I can only talk to you from my experiences running a department store, but also from what the retail members tell me. Now, a lot of the people that are casual, the greater proportion of people that are casuals in a retail environment are university students or young people or mature age people that don't want permanency, want the higher rate of pay, because that, and then also they want the flexibility. So there's this tension going on there between the retail community and the government. And then when it gets to landlord, which is landlords and leasing, there's no reprieve from the landlord community because, of course, they did it particularly tough through COVID and they're trying to claw back their costs. I'm not certainly advocating for the landlords, but what I'm saying is that some of the landlord community, particularly on high streets, who have been in a golden mile, have not really understood that the market has significantly changed and there's now increased competition when it comes to online trading, and they've got to reassess their position when it comes to rent, and that's putting again a small business under pressure.
We've seen Paul, that we understand and a lot better the challenges that business face, particularly in the current environment, and the biggest costs for a business after their stock, obviously, are wages and rent or loan repayments. Then you throw in land tax, payroll tax, and some other things. The rise of online retailing, and as you know, I'm a bit of a click and collect fan like you, that are we looking at a further thinning out of the ranks? And I wanted to ask, in terms of membership of your organisation, do you have, members that are online retailers only, or is it basically just bricks and mortar?
No, we are a very broad community. Okay. I mean, to name a few, we have the Iconic, we have Amazon, we have many online retailers that are purely online, but the majority of our retail community are what we call omnichannel retailer, and that they operate in every channel.
How do you balance that? How do you represent the, you know, the local?
Do you not know how talented Paul is, Mac?
I do, but I want some tips on how to balance that. It's like, you know, community engagement. How do you do it?
Well, look, they're the least of my problems, to be honest. I think it comes back to relationship management, and this organisation has to manage through the nuances of the diverse retail community, but also the nuances of the different levels of government, more importantly. Now, partly, Macca and Paul, one of the reasons why I took this role on, because it was my heritage is all in traditional retailing and then into omnichannel retailing, is more to learn about the machinations of government. So I've learned that pretty quickly, and operating at that state, local and federal level is where the complexity occurs. So, you know, trying to get the member outcome, often trying to get the government outcome where you can align. We also obviously work with several unions. So there's the employee side of things. And then of course we have strategic partnerships that help fund the data and insights and the work that we do. So it is a bit of a complex puzzle, but it's really, you know, my philosophy really is always to find a win-win outcome. And if you can do that in any relationship, you know, and it goes to personal relationships as well, you can start.
Paul, we'll still get you in politics one way or the other.
He's a diplomat.
He is a very good diplomat and representing a lot of wide organisations. Paul, we're out of time, sadly. The next item you might be interested in, we're going to be talking to someone who is an economist all about what full employment means, which is going to be legislated, I think, before the end of this year with the Reserve Bank. But Paul Zara, Australian Retail Association, thank you for joining us again. Sorry it's so short, Paul. We need to get you on for a half an hour
and
next
time. You're in Melbourne.
My pleasure.
You've got to come in here, mate, next time you're in Melbourne.
I will do that. Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity again.
Cheers. Thank you for joining us, Paul. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye for now.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. We've got coming up actually a pre-recorded, which Paul has organised, and Paul will introduce it actually on the pre-record. So quick break, then we'll come back with that, and that's probably why you won't hear my voice.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.